Welcome to the Wealth Studying Podcast. This is episode 57. It's December 14th, 2014. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. Here at the Wealth Studying Podcast, I try and teach you from the 10 wealth building principles to help you build, preserve, and grow your wealth so that you can attain personal freedom. I like to say that money may not buy you happiness, but it can buy freedom. And that's what we're all about here at Wealth Studying. So what we're going to talk about today, although I'm going to frame it in terms of trading stocks, like everything we talk about here at Wealth Studying, it's not one thing. It's how you apply it to every area of your life, your career, your marriage, your relationships with your neighbors, right? Those are all things that make you a better rounded person, a happier person. And these things that not only affect you, you know, your happiness, but ultimately that's what affects your wealth. And that's what makes you a wealthy person. And that's why we call this podcast Wealth Studying, because it's about making you steadier, more sturdy, more solid and grounded. Well, I want to jump right into today's episode and talk to you about what is, in my opinion, the absolute best stock trading method. It's going to probably surprise you what I say, and before I get started, let me tell you what it's not. The best stock trading method isn't some option scheme that someone's trying to hustle you on the internet or on late night TV. It's not the latest best-selling book of someone pitching their techniques or their methods. It's not that email that you've gotten that hypes some absolutely new discovered way of trading that Warren Buffett uses. And hey, let me say, while we're talking about this discussion, even if you're not interested in trading stocks, this podcast applies to you, because what we're talking about with the best stock trading method and what it isn't, well, it applies to life as well. For example, like making money in real estate, probably not going to happen if you take one of those late night TV, courses on flipping real estate. I'm not saying that they're all scams. I'm just saying I've met a lot of people that have, you know, fallen for that stuff, but none of my millionaire clients have done that. Not that they've admitted to anyways. So if the absolute best stock trading method isn't any of those things I mentioned, then what is it? Well, of course, it's probably the method I use, right? No, that's not right either. And if you've been listening to this podcast any length of time, you know I'm not here to sell you a book or to sell you on some trading method or some other kind of goofy stuff. It's not it at all. The method that I use works for me, and that's the point. That's the point I want to make. I can guarantee you, and I can say this categorically for everyone listening to this podcast, the very best stock trading method for you is the one that works for you. And I mean that. Think about it. I've mentioned this before. Think about when you trade a stock. Every stock that you sell, someone's buying. And every stock that you buy, someone's selling. Well, you're selling it because you think the price is obviously going to go down or stay the same, or you wouldn't be selling it. If you thought it was going to appreciate, you'd hold on to it. And likewise, every time you're buying a stock, well, you must think it's going up, right? You wouldn't be thinking it was going to go down, or you wouldn't be buying it. Okay, I'm not going to get into selling shorts and all that. You know what I mean. Quit being a smart aleck. Okay. So you get the picture. On every side of a trade, there's two positions. One person thinks it's going up, one person thinks it's going down. Otherwise, it wouldn't take place. And just because you sell a stock that you think is going down doesn't mean that the person on the other end that's buying it is necessarily losing money. You see, there's a million different ways to make $1 million. Let me digress a little bit from stock trading. Let me pull this back into careers and employment, things like that, people's life work. I know millionaires that are in all the traditional careers that you would think about, okay? But I also know some millionaires in other careers that you may not think about. The guy that does the lawn care service, the guy that's in the packaging business, the lady that runs the hair salon, the guy that runs the shop that repairs diesel engines. See, these people that I know, they're all millionaires, but they all made their money in different careers. Now, I'm not necessarily going to argue that they didn't follow certain wealth building principles. I mean, hey, that's what this podcast is all about. But just in terms of careers, right? And the people I mentioned, they're all self-employed. But you know, I know other people that work for corporations, not as many of them, but a few of them that are millionaires as well. There's the engineer, there's a sales executive, there's even that administrative assistant that worked for the same company for about 30 years and banked away her company's stock and her 401k plan and did outstanding. Now that's a real rarity, but I have seen it. Okay, again, so all these people, whether employees or whether self-employed, they all made their money a different way. And since I know a lot of these people personally, I can tell you, that corporate engineer, he would have never made it in a hair salon, right? He couldn't have been that woman that runs the hair salon. He'd have gone out of business. Doesn't have those interpersonal skills or the creativity or the bubbly personality. And yeah, you know that lady that owns that hair salon? She'd have never hacked it as an engineer, because other than simple math, you know, she can't do it, right? She wouldn't have made it through geometry and algebra and differential equations and stuff, right? It's just not her thing. But that didn't stop her from being a millionaire. Likewise, an engineer that's maybe a little lacking in some social skills, well, so what? He's still a millionaire. And on, right? the guy that's a millionaire that has the lawn care service, totally different personality from the guy that's in the shipping business. And yet, both millionaires. You see the point I'm trying to make here? Everyone is a unique individual. They have certain talents and abilities that no one else has. No one else possesses in exactly that way, right? Their DNA, their fingerprint, it's different from everybody else's. And that gives them certain advantages and disadvantages. That's why some people excel in some careers and other people don't. That's why in certain periods in history, certain times in history, certain people rise to the top. Certain kind of leaders come up in certain eras, depending upon what the political mood at the time is, right? I mean, you see this during wartime. Guys like George Patton. I mean, he was a real contrarian. He was a guy that swam upstream. I think he had a lot of problems. And the little bit I've read about his life, it looks like, you know, even though he was in the military, he didn't do real well in bureaucratic organizations. Well, how did he become a four-star general? Because his career coincided with the Second World War. And in wartime, guys like him excel, right? He probably wouldn't have made it as a peacetime general, but he made it as a wartime general. So situations, timing, environments, these can all affect your personal success because you're different. You're unique, right? What works for someone else may not work for you. Well, that's the way it is in stock trading too. I've received a lot of questions from listeners about, hey, what do I recommend? What's the best? What book should they read? All these kind of things. And I try and answer them when I get a chance. I get tons of emails. Let me let you know that I do read everything. I just don't always get a chance to respond to everybody. I do read what you say. I take it into consideration. It helps form my thoughts and my, you know, opinions for what we'll do on future shows. So I appreciate that. I'll give a shout out to one guy though. As it relates to stock trading, I received a nice email from a guy named Brandon. And incidentally, Brandon gave me a very nice review over at iTunes. So I appreciate that, Brandon. But Brandon was one of the many people that asked, you know, about a particular method that he uses. In his particular question, he asked about a method which involves using deep in the money options. I'm not going to go into exactly what that is. This podcast isn't designed to teach you, you know, exotic trading methods. This podcast is designed to make you think and help you rationalize and build logical conclusions in your own mind. So those of you that gravitate towards options, you'll do that on your own. You'll hear me do some high-level discussions about those things. Personally, for me, the only options I tend to use, and I'd say almost exclusively, but there have been times when I don't do it exactly this way. But generally, when I use options, I use covered calls and protective puts. I have gotten questions about those. We'll probably do a podcast on those maybe here in the not-too-distant future. Well, that's a very conservative method, and it goes along with my overall stock trading strategies, so that's why I use those. But anyways, Brandon uses a different technique of options trading than I do, and I don't really see anything wrong with the fallacy of what he's mentioning. I haven't studied that particular method very well. It seems to work. I don't think there's, you know, too many disadvantages using that than using other methods. But the point is, I don't use it. I haven't been successful in it. It just doesn't fit my style of trading. Maybe it's because I didn't start out with that. I don't know why, right? It doesn't really matter. The point is, it appears to be working really well for Brandon. And you know what? That's great. He shouldn't start trading stocks the way I trade them. He should continue the method that he's developing, the skills that he's honing, and he should focus on his successes. And when he makes money, he should make note of that, and he should understand how he did it and try and replicate that. And if he can replicate it and it works again, then he should hone it, sharpen his skills a little bit better, and try it again and again and again. And whenever he fails, he should make note of that, and he should try and look for a pattern, and he should try and not do the things that cause him to lose money. And it sounds like he's going down the path using this particular options method. Well, that's great. And I want that to work for him. And I'm going to keep working on my strategy my way. And your way may be something totally different. But you see, your math skills, your ability to sense patterns and recognition of trends, your understanding and command of language, or your ability to read and absorb information, that's all different than my methods and my abilities. And it's different than Brandon's. And it's different than the guy that lives across the street from you, right? You're unique. So the way that works best for you is going to be different than the way that works best for me. When you hear about these people saying they have all these fancy algorithms and things, or this high frequency trading on Wall Street, well, an algorithm is nothing more than a mathematical expression of someone's trading method that's been put into some kind of a computer program so that it automates it, right? But it's still someone's method. And you say, well, yeah, but it's computerized and it's an algorithm and it's high frequency trading and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, it may be all those things, and it may be working for Goldman Sachs right now, or for, you know, some other little engineer in his basement at MIT, but it may not work for you. And the reason I say that is, well, just think of it this way. If we all use that same algorithm, would it work? No, because there has to be someone on each side of the trade. If we all did exactly the same thing, what would happen? We'd have a bubble. It wouldn't work, right? We'd all be investing in tulip bulbs. And then that market would crash, or would all be investing in real estate, right? When everybody on the boat, when they all rush over to the starboard side of the ship, what happens? The ship capsizes. It's the same way with markets, supply and demand. If everybody wants a Beanie Baby, then the price of Beanie Babies goes up astronomically until no one can afford Beanie Babies, and then the price collapses. Well, that's what happens in all markets. That's what happens in all occupations. If everybody rushes in to be a physician's assistant, then the market is flooded with physician's assistants and nobody can make money anymore. I remember going back, I don't know, when I was a kid, probably like at least 40 years ago, I knew some men at that time that were chiropractors and they were just making bank. I mean, it was a cash business in those days. No insurance companies were involved. Maybe on the fringe of medicine, you know, it really wasn't accepted in mainstream medicine. And you know what? Those guys made millions. I mean, they were printing money. Anyway, like I say, it was all cash. I'm sure a lot of it never got reported to the IRS. Well, then everybody flocked into being chiropractors, and chiropractic education started, you know, costing as much as medical school. And so young kids were coming out of chiropractic college with, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 in student loan debts. And there was a chiropractic shop on every corner and every strip mall. And pretty soon none of them are making any money. Okay, so you see how that works? It's a matter of supply and demand for one thing. And then again, it's your particular talents. I mean, look at me in this podcast. Not everyone has a suave personality and a silver tongue communicator like me. Well, making a joke there. Obviously, that's not true. I stammer at my words. I repeat things. I have a Western Pennsylvania coal mine accent that half of you can't understand every couple words I say. But you don't listen for that. You don't care about that. You overlook that because you know I'm providing you good content. You know I'm telling you what I believe to be the truth about building wealth, and that's why you listen to this podcast. And that's why the podcast is successful. But you know what? I'd never make it in broadcasting. They wouldn't hire me to be the anchorman of a network news or something, a cable TV, right? That's just not going to happen. But yet I can have a successful podcast. I make it work for me. If you did a podcast, you'd do it differently. So let me take you back to stock trading. Again, what works best for you is what you want to do. You want to develop it. Now, yes, again, there are certain characteristics of a trade. You hear me all the time talking about a 50-day moving average or you know, watch out for it's trading below its 200-day moving average. And yes, you can argue that that's an algorithm or that's a particular method or strategy. And it is to some degree, but it's also just sort of like common sense, like saying, hey, when you cross the street, cross over by the crosswalk. Okay. When you're crossing the street, make sure the light's in your direction. So the traffic is stopped and you're not going to get run over. I'm not really giving you a specific method telling you, well, when it's 2 cents above the moving average, and the volume is such and such, and in all this detail that they put into like an algorithm. Because I'm just giving you broad generalizations. You need to take that information and formulate it for you. So if you're the kind of person that likes options, that may be right for you. If you're the kind of person that likes selling short, you know what? You can make a living doing that. If you're the kind of person that just buys and holds, and if you've listened to me any length of time, you know that I'm not a fan of buy and hold, but at the same time, that administrative assistant that I mentioned, well, she bought and held, and she bought and held for 30-some years. She happened to buy and hold in the right stock, and that's what mattered. It was in her 401k plan. Her funds grew and grew year after year, tax-free, tax-deferred, and she was able to make a million. Her method worked for her, but it may not work for you because if you're an administrative assistant at another company, their stock may not do as good as hers did. She had specific stock risk, but it worked for her, not against her. But it did work for her, and I'm not going to argue that. That was fine. So what I want to tell you is take in general rules. Understand the basics. Get a hold of the fundamentals, and then apply those in your own life. If you're good with math and spreadsheets, you're going to have a different investing style than the person that's really good at identifying trends. Okay, but make it work for you. If you're good at finding trends in the graphs and the charts, then don't try and be the person that goes walking around the mall looking for trends in the retail stores and things, because that's probably not you. Probably not the way you process information. You probably won't be good at that, even though you just read a best-selling book, you know, from an author that uses that. You stick to your more hard numbers and charts. Let the other person that has that other talent, let them go do their thing. And then as each of us pursues our own self-interests, the invisible hand of the marketplace separates the winning bets from the losing bets. And ultimately, the economy sorts everything out. That's the way it works in the stock market. That's the way it works in jobs. That's the way it works everywhere in the free market. So I'd like you to take this podcast to heart. The best trading system or method is the one that works for you. The best career is the one that works for you. The best school or university that you should attend is the one that works for you, right? The best spouse that you should marry is the one that works for you. Don't do something just because it's a fad. Don't do something just because somebody else is doing it. Don't do something because you think that other people think you should do it. Do the things that ring true inside to you. Do the things that align with your own personal talents and abilities and passions. Follow those things in the framework of reason and understanding, and you'll be very successful in whatever you pursue. Remember, your Creator made you unique and different from every other creature in the universe. Take advantage of that. Put your DNA to good use. Make something of it. And I'll just wrap up by saying, as always, if you have questions or concerns or you want to express your opinion, you can get in touch with me at wellsteading.com. I appreciate those of you that have taken the time to go out and subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher. And I really appreciate those of you like Brandon that have written a review for me out in iTunes or somewhere. Thanks so much. Thanks for making this podcast part of your life. Until next time, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.